This morning we are taking a look at what we are celebrating in this day. In the first day of Pentecost, the first instance of that, I guess it is the day of Pentecost. Now we just remember. It doesn't keep happening. It's just what we remember. And so we'll be reading from the book of Acts, where we are told about that. We're gonna do one verse out of Acts chapter 1, Acts 1:8, and then we will continue on into Acts chapter 2, reading the first 21 verses there. So hear what the writer, Luke, says to us here in Acts. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." I'd like to stop there. Can you go back up to that one? Go back up to the very beginning of that. This is also this week's Bible memory verse. So could you read Acts 1 verse 8 with me, and then we'll continue on from there. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others, mocking, said, 'They're filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and my female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So far the reading of God's word this morning, and we pray that the Spirit truly would bless these words to us as we consider them. Today is a very powerful day in those that are followers of Jesus. There has been so much going on in the life and ministry of Jesus that has brought about a new understanding of what it is to be considered His. And that, again, is an identity thing that we're considering. We are children of God. We are still made in His image. We are followers of Jesus Christ. We are Christians little Christ, as it were. We are disciples, those that carry on the work of Christ because of what Christ has done. He came in His powerful virgin birth, having been prophesied about from years, hundreds of years before. He lived His life in a way that you and I were supposed to be able to do, and He did it perfectly, always keeping the will of His Father in every aspect of His life, overcoming every temptation towards sin, and doing what the Father commanded Him to do at all times. It's the way we were supposed to live. And then He gave His life. He was obedient to death, even death on a cross, as it says in Scripture, and then buried in the grave. But the grave couldn't hold Him, and so within 3 days He's risen from the dead. He appeared to His disciples for a period of 40 days, teaching them, proclaiming to them more things about what they have in store for them, what's next for the disciples. And then the day of ascension came, just 10 days prior to this, where Jesus once again is placed on His rightful throne with His Father, ruling over all, having accomplished all that was necessary by Him, laid out by His Father. All of those were crucial aspects of what it is that Jesus came to do. Not one of them can be missing. And today is the fulfillment of the plans that He has for us as His people that would now live as those following in His footsteps, being refashioned into that image in which we were created, being melted and molded and shaped, as again, as the song was saying. Today, we hear about this outpouring of the Spirit. It is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. It is the Holy Spirit, that third and perfect part of the triune Godhead, each one fully God, each one having the exact same characteristics, and each one having a distinct role. And here the Spirit is being poured out into the lives of the disciples. It is a powerful day because something amazing is happening in this time. A new era has begun. Something is changing in the lives of God's people today. A new era has begun. The Holy Spirit has always been a part of our existence here on earth. You read about it in Genesis 1, verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was over the face of the earth, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Even at the act of creation, the Spirit is there working. When man was created, God breathed His Spirit into mankind. The Spirit's working has been a part of all of this. The Spirit didn't just come today, as we celebrate in Acts chapter 2. That was not the coming of the Spirit. It was a new understanding of the Spirit's presence in our world and in our lives. There were plenty of instances already in the very first book of Scripture, in Genesis. Joseph was given the Spirit of God to interpret dreams for Pharaoh. So we read about that already in that first chapter. It's the Spirit. I don't want you to understand that the Spirit is not a person. He is a person. I'll often say the word "it's" as it's this powerful presence, but the Spirit is a person in a different fashion than the Son is, for sure, because the Son lives bodily, has for over 2,000 years now. God the Father is Spirit as well. And the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, that Holy Spirit, He also has an important role. So I have my mind in a different place when I say "it's" than what you might hear. But forgive me if I confuse you at times. When the tabernacle is being fashioned in the book of Exodus, The Spirit was given to people to create things for the purpose of worship in the tabernacle. They were given different gifts to make different items. When Moses was leading the people and he was overwhelmed by all of the different things that he needed to be judging for the people, and just day after day and hour after hour, all day long, Moses is being bombarded with people trying to get things resolved in their hearts and minds. His father-in-law said, "You need to divide this up. You can't do this on your own." So the Spirit of God went into 70 elders at that time to help carry on that work, and you see that happening. The judges of Israel also were given the Spirit in different ways so that the people of Israel would be delivered from their oppression. Now here, and it just keeps going on and on. The writers of Scripture, the prophets, major or minor, big ones, small ones, are all given the Spirit to carry them along to speak the Word of God and to be used by the Spirit. Now we're seeing the Spirit come, not to just a group of special people or a limited group of people, not just to somebody that can interpret dreams or somebody that's going to judge the people or the kings. Both Saul and David and others had the Spirit of God in them. Not just to an elite group of people, or maybe the most obscure, Samson had the Spirit of God, and you wouldn't necessarily know it by the way he lived his life, but the Spirit of God was working through him yet to deliver, bring deliverance for God's people. So the Spirit has been given in different ways in the past. Now it's coming to all people. If you are a child of the King, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, and you are walking daily in what it means to be a follower, a disciple, a born-again believer, somebody that knows what Christ came to do, and then, as the Catechism even says, I know my sin, I know the salvation that comes and in the answer to my sin, and also that, even as the song was saying, now I give my life in service. If that's you, if you were convicted of your sin, you know of that salvation in Christ, and you are living that life of service, you have the Holy Spirit in you. It's been given to all people. It says there in verse 3 of our reading today, the divided tongues as fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. All of the disciples that were there, men or women, and that continues to be reiterated again in this second chapter. It's falling on all those that are there and know the power of Christ in their lives. It's also what Paul talks about, that we each have that. Ephesians chapter 1, at verse 13, it says, "In Him you also," so in Christ, remember that's a big part of our understanding of being a Christian, we are in Christ. "In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit." If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. At that moment when you understood what the good news of the gospel message is, and you accepted that and began to allow your life to be transformed, the Spirit is in you and working in you. And so, what does the Spirit do? What is His role in our lives? When Jesus was talking about the coming Holy Spirit, already back in John's Gospel account, He was giving an idea of one of the aspects, and just one of the aspects there. When you continue on through the New Testament and you see the role of the Holy Spirit, there are so many things that the Spirit does in our hearts and minds and lives. One of them came at John 14, verse 15. How many, so let me ask the, how many of you men, because this would only apply to men, now I'm limiting the group here. How many of you men remember the cadet verse? At least it was in my day. Maybe they did it way back when, I don't know, differently. Well, that's the song. And you're not a man anyway, so. But just like a wife, she would always try to interject into her husband's conversation here. But do you remember what it was? So maybe I'm getting this wrong. This is what I remember. Do I got a hand raised back there? Give it a shot. Which is? That's the verse. Now shift each thing forward. John 14, verse 15. So, right on, close. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, is the way that that section starts. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him or knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. One of the roles in that context there that the Spirit has in our lives is to bring us to a place of obedience. The same as the Son was, so are those that follow the Son. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will give you another helper, another counselor, another advocate that will lead you into all truth so that you know what it is and you have the ability to carry that out. John goes on at verse 26 in that same chapter, chapter 14. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all I have said to you. Again, one of the roles that Jesus said the Holy Spirit would take in our lives is to continue to teach us the words of Jesus. Continue to teach us the words of truth. The apostles and disciples that would come after, the scripture writers that would follow in the footsteps of Jesus would continue to carry on and give further understanding to what Jesus was saying when He walked and taught His disciples and taught the crowds. They would take those messages and carry them on. Paul also, having special revelation from God, being caught up in the Spirit into the third heaven, he also would bring his understanding of what the Spirit is saying for us to understand in our lives as all believers. We are to be taught by the Spirit. We are to be then people of obedience as we have the Spirit living in us. Another aspect of what the Spirit does in our lives comes from Ephesians. Guess which chapter? Chapter 1. You know how many times I refer to Ephesians 1 since we've gone through Ephesians? Listen to Ephesians 1, starting at verse 11. In Him, in who? In Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. The Holy Spirit guarantees us as children of God that we have an inheritance that is eternal, one that can never perish, spoil, or fade. We know that as we are in Christ, our eternal destiny is secure. It cannot be shaken. It cannot be taken away. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Those are the absolute promises, and the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of that promise that we will have life in His presence either when we finish our race and more so and more significantly so when Jesus comes again and puts into place that final rule and reign that He has come to do which he came at his birth so long ago, and he will come again and bring about the fullness of his kingdom. And the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of your salvation. You can know for sure that you are saved as you see the Spirit working in your life. But did you notice here in our reading today the first implication of the Spirit's work at Pentecost? There are many more that you can read about as you continue to go on through the book of Acts and beyond. But did you notice the first implication of the Spirit's role and work in the lives of his disciples? It was to speak the word of God to other people. Acts 1, so Jesus told them before the Spirit would come, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem where you are, in Judea where you reside, in Samaria, those that have been kind of separated, they've been disenfranchised from the people of Israel, and even to the ends of the earth, those that have not heard yet. Here in your locale, here in your general area, beyond even to people that you have some association with and they did with you at one point and maybe are distant from the church, and those that have never heard before, you will be my witnesses to all of these people. That's what Jesus said. And then when you get to the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit rests upon them, they began to speak in other people's languages so that they could hear as well the wonderful things that God is doing and hear the good news. The first instance of the Spirit's work in people's lives at the day of Pentecost was to spread the gospel message. It's still the call for God's church today. Jesus gave that message at the end of his ministry when he was speaking, as Matthew had recorded, go therefore and make disciples and bring that all the way to the end of the earth. Wherever you would go, and as far as that momentum spreads, it will go to the ends of the earth. And it's being reiterated here in the book of Acts as the Spirit is coming. There were two very powerful, at least two, the first two very powerful messages to the early church came when the Holy Spirit had come upon them. Peter's is that first one here as he begins to speak, empowered by the Holy Spirit. You also have Stephen. You want to read a powerful sermon? Go and read Stephen's powerful sermon here just a few chapters later in the book of Acts, and see how boldly he proclaimed the Word of God, giving evidence of what God's purpose was in the world and how that can transform people's lives. And he did it at the cost of his own. I don't know how I would feel about that myself, preaching such a powerful message that they stone you for it. I would like to preach a powerful message, but survive it. But Stephen brought a message, basically as the stones are crushing his skull and his bones and taking the life out of him and being buried under a pile of rocks, he's continuing to powerfully bring a witness to those that were there. And it was just this Spirit-empowered message given to him. Paul also had many times when being filled with the Holy Spirit, he also would continue to preach the word. He also, same thing with Stephen. Maybe that's the mark of a really good preacher, is that they stone you at the end of it. Because he was stoned once and left for dead. The next day, what did he do? He got up and did it again. Because the Spirit was there. And God spoke to him through his Spirit and said, I have a mission for you to carry out, and nothing is going to stop it until you have fulfilled it. And the Spirit would continue to lead Paul. When you read through the book of Acts, you'll read through some of those things that the Spirit empowered him to do and empowered others to do. Empowered people like Stephen and Nicholas and others that were there to start up the early church. A powerful witness because of the Holy Spirit. For us, this is a game changer. This absolutely changes everything for the Christian. It changes our very existence. What we couldn't do in our own flesh, in our own power, we are empowered to do boldly because of the Spirit living in us. You and I would be... How many of you would like, right after the service, to go out and evangelize in our community? Anybody scared to death by that proposal? In our own flesh, that is a scary proposition. Because what if they don't like the message? What if they get hostile to me? Either verbally or even physically, throwing me off their property. What we would not be able to do in and of ourselves, the Spirit gives us the power to do that. The Spirit, so here's more of how our lives are changed because of the Spirit living within us, giving us different levels of power over the things that always were areas of weakness. Romans, you want to read about how powerfully the Spirit works in your life, read Romans 8 today. Romans 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ from the law of sin and death. Jesus overcame by His life, so not just by His death, by His life, death, resurrection, and ascension, has overcome the power of sin in your life, which kept you a slave to sin and the recipient of certain reward for that, which is death. Jesus overcame that and sets you free from that spirit of sin and death and gives you the spirit of life and freedom. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Jesus said in John 10:10, this is what was at work in us before we came to Christ. The thief comes to only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Do you wake up every day or put your head down on the pillow at the end of the night and say, man, today was just one of those instances of an abundant life in Christ. Sometimes I think we miss the fact that there's supposed to be an abundant life living in us and through us. Paul also told Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. I'm no longer a slave of fear. I have a spirit of power living in me. I think, though, and I know this to be true in my own life, as I don't yield myself to the Spirit of fear still overtakes me. The more I yield myself to the working of the Spirit in me and allowing Him to transform me, that sense of power begins to grow in me and can grow in you. It's that interruption into... the book of Ephesians again, where Paul says, Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all you ask Him, according to the power that is at work within you, that's the Spirit working in you. It's a spirit not of fear, but of power and love, of self-control. The Spirit changes our focus in this world. Matthew 6, verse 33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's where we start. That's our focus. Paul says it again in Romans 8. For those, verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh, just in your natural self, in your own human abilities, set their minds on the things of the flesh. You try to live in your own strength, you will always focus on the things that will limit you, control you, overtake you, and defeat you. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. It's where Paul says again, the fruit of the Spirit. You can see evidence of the fruit of the Spirit because it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the things that are being worked out in you by this powerful working of the Spirit that's been poured out on you because of Christ's purpose and victory in His own life, and now you get to live in that same victory. As we grow in the power of the Spirit who dwells in us, we will grow in our understanding of the things of God as well. There is this sense where the more we become in tune with the Spirit living in us, the more we are in tune with that same Spirit who inspired the Word of God so that we come to a greater, fuller, deeper understanding of it. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. Who can know the mind of anyone except for the one who has the spirit of that person? Whose spirit do you have in you? You have the Spirit of God. You have the Spirit of Christ living in you. And so we are able to continue to understand things more fully. As we celebrate today, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Remember what the disciples were told by Jesus they would do. You will receive power. Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? You have received power to go out and be a witness to the people that you interact with in your own small world and in those places where God might bring you in another circumstance, because there's always an opportunity. We don't stop being Christians when we go on vacation in another state or go on a cruise or fly to another country. You don't stop being a Christian, so we don't stop giving witness to what God has done in our lives. You will be my witnesses. That's our call today, being reminded of what God initiated on this day for those that believe in Christ. You and I are filled up with the Holy Spirit. It changes everything about our existence in the world. It's meant to unleash. The Holy Spirit is the one who unleashes the power within us to accomplish the purpose of God. I cannot do it by myself. I can't. I have tried. I'm sure you have as well. I can show you evidence of people that tried without the Spirit's working, without the going with the will of God, and we do not succeed. But having been given the Spirit, brothers and sisters in Christ, you have power within you to carry out the tasks that He's given us to do. We're going to be going outside of our walls, and we pray that we will have an audience with those that are still curious about the faith. You will have opportunity to give witness to your faith. You do every day. But we're praying that God will bring people to us that we can powerfully witness to. So may that be the understanding as we consider this remembrance of the pouring out of the Spirit, that He is one that changes who you are so that you are more like Christ, whose image you are being recreated back into. As the Spirit left us, as we disobeyed back in the garden, and we all continue to do that, that broken image is being restored by the power of the Spirit within us all. Amen? Father, we just pray that your Spirit, the very Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Father, the Holy Spirit, would be more of this tangible reality in our lives, there are many of us, I'm sure, that have not fully understood the work of the Spirit. And yet, whatever we do for good in your kingdom is always empowered by the Spirit living in us. And so I pray, Father, that you would give us a new hope to go out and be a powerful witness for you in every area of our lives. May that grow within us. Give us opportunities to try. And if we do not think we have succeeded, remind us that your word does not return void. If we continue to utter the words of God to people in a loving, winsome way to draw them into this wonderful relationship that we know of and are growing in ourselves, if we continue to do that, you will show us the fruit in our own lives, and we pray too that you would show us fruit that comes from the harvest that is around us. So Spirit, fill us once again today and move in us day by day for the good of your kingdom and the glory of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.